Hello. It's great to be here in Leeds, the home of Alan Bennett, Mel B, Ricky Wilson from the Kaiser Chiefs. But I'm sure he won't be predicting a riot at my campaign rally, where all the sensible security precautions have been taken to ensure an orderly evening of policy discussion. Furthermore, if he were able to reliably predict riots, it would be of paramount importance that he share this potentially life-saving technology with the authorities. But Leeds is so much more than the heavy metal rock music of the Kaiser Chiefs. It is also the home of Marks and Spencer, no X, where I get all of my underpants to this day, and occasionally a prawn sandwich if I'm feeling hungry or simply deserve a little treat. So why have I chosen to come to Leeds on my campaign tour? The answer is that the North is close to my heart, the land of true blokes with a whippet and a flat cap, who love nothing more than a pint of John Smith's or Boddington's Downt Pub, or a processed meat pie with gravy in the terraces at Elland Road. Blokes just like me. And it's important that the Labour Party win back northern blokes with our message that we will bring back jobs to the northern powerhouses. Thatcher may have closed down the mines and the steel mills, but we will create new jobs of the future. Downt Digital Pit. Instead of hewing coal from subterranean crevices, you'll be hewing efficiencies from the balance sheets of marketing agencies. Instead of smelting steel, you'll be in the virtual crucible, heating up B2B logistical solutions. That is my promise to you, to take Leeds into the 21st century, from flat cap to a flat rate means-tested tax credit for selected working families across Launchpad enterprise zones in the greater Leeds metropolitan area. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Trash Future.
How are we doing? Are we all right?
Boy, that's bright. Hello, everybody. How's it going, Leeds? Yeah, me worried there for a second.
Are you excited to see your five favorite friends on very small footstools? Feels intimate, doesn't it?
We look like we've come in to do one of those like don't do drugs talks. We lay down. Listen up, kids. Here's what it is. Heroin's for losers.
I did heroin. Now I'm trapped in this small stool.
I did heroin, and now I'm in the 1975. Don't end up like me.
Thank you very much for coming to the second stop of the Trash Future Regional Authenticity Tour. The tour where we remind ourselves that we went to Australia before anywhere else in the UK.
As it should be.
Look, when you get weather like Sydney, we'll come back again.
It doesn't get more regional than Australia when you think about it.
So. What we're doing on the TF Regional Authenticity Tour is we have decided to invite noted professor and bibliophage Matthew Goodwin to debate the merits of his terrible new book, which we have taken apart in detail to challenge him to combat in the Mind Dojo for your listening pleasure today. Unfortunately, he did not respond to any of my requests that he actually attend and debate us, so we will just be mocking his empty chair. Are we ready to get into probably the most offensive startup I've found?
Ooh. You promise highly, Riley.
It's called N-word.
Yeah, it's a service that lets conservatives say the word.
It's like a soundproof room.
So the startup is called Salt.
Salt. Like the Angelina Jolie movie or the common table substance.
I would have said the table substance first, but okay.
I think about Angelina Jolie a lot.
Okay, well, it's called Salt. It has nothing to do with Angelina Jolie or the substance. Okay. All right, we're auditioning for a fifth cast.
Do they turn you into it if you look back at Gomorrah?
No, it is not biblical.
Right,
in that sense, no. Alice, you sticking with your Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, that's my full answer. It's the Angelina Jolie spy movie, Salt. Uh-huh.
Very offensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't good. I'll say that.
Hussein, it's called Salt.
It's called Salt. Okay, so here's my idea. Salt the Earth, you know, you're making stuff like unable to grow. So it's a service that deletes all your bad posts and make sure it's like your digital footprint is not, like it kills your digital footprint.
And it would have to make you unable to ever post again. Like it cuts off your posting fingers.
That would probably be a good idea, which is why I know it's not
that. Yeah, the startup that cancels you, that's why it's offensive. It like it posts the, like an algorithmically determined most offensive thing you could post, then deletes all your other posts and then locks you out of your Twitter.
Alternatively, in relation to posts, it's like, you know, when you add a bit of salt to something, it can make it taste a bit better. It makes your posts just a little bit better.
Like a punch up.
Yeah. Like just a little bit, though. Not too much.
Like a group chat service. Group chat is a service.
It gets you like the 5 likes that you really want.
Oh, yeah. We all know the ones. Unfortunately, no, that would be marginally less offensive than this. Nate, it's called Salt.
It's a wearable tech that helps you cry more efficiently by analyzing the salt in your tears.
So what I have also done is I have captured, I haven't captured it, they put it out. It was a YouTube video that they made to describe their mission and what they do. And I've decided to share that with you. So we're going to play it. And then I would ask my co-hosts here to, when they want to make a comment on what's happening in this clip, just stop it and then say your piece. I mean, I don't think you will, because it's totally reasonable, not horrifyingly offensive, and definitely a great idea that's got a lot of legs.
Okay, I'll like put my
circle
hand up.
Time.
Like in school.
All right.
You know?
Want me to start rolling it?
Let's
roll it, Riley.
The desire for ownership is something that every human on this earth shares. Each of us has this intrinsic aspiration to own the outcome of our efforts. For some, that might mean buying a house one day after years of working. For others, it might mean starting and building a business and seeing firsthand the results of our work. But for so many of us in the workforce, our efforts just don't translate into something of longer-term value. We labor, we toil, we fight. And yet somehow, at the end of the day,
somehow,
we barely have enough to get
somehow.
By.
Who?
How?
Is this just, yeah, somehow. That's some weird. That's
process.
Weird. Does anyone know what's going on with that? I've always
yeah, have any of you recorded podcasts about what's going on over the course of the past like few years that we can listen to?
It's the local moms with their one weird trick.
Oh, fuck.
That's how they're making $500 a week.
I knew I was being owned by the local mums.
And in the wrong way.
Yes.
I mean, depending what you're into.
Please continue.
Can it be that we work this hard to never achieve long-term ownership of anything? Introducing Salt, a first-of-its-kind rewards program for the modern workforce.
A rewards program, so like kind of in this way, like the Sainsbury Nectar card.
Yeah. But crucially, instead of getting paid as much.
Air miles, but for a house.
Yeah. So it gives you like little like experiences, little like achievements, days out, things of this nature.
How much should you pay for this house then? Oh, I got it on points, mate.
Okay,
it was either that or a trip for four to Alton Towers.
Can I do one more little guess?
Please, please.
All right, so it's sort of like in a video game where you sort of get little like credits and treats, and those things then translate to like, oh, you worked for like 8 hours, so here's like one pepper. but you could also give away that. But you could always like sacrifice that pepper and play like a new game, and maybe you might get an egg or like some bread.
What games are you playing?
I'm not a gamer. This is how I assume.
Yeah,
post that shit up. I am not a gamer. Hussein Kasvani, brainyquote.com.
I was recently introduced to there's a Ukrainian television show where they get people on Maidan Square to sing karaoke, and the top prize is a car, but if you don't win the car, the other prize you can win is a box of eggs.
Also, Hussein, the game you've described is Shopping List, essentially. You have also pretty accurately described the business model, But what we haven't gotten to is how they intend this to solve the problem of generational inequality with Nectar points.
Yeah, so, I keep wondering about like the rewards points aspect of this. Is it going to be like if you don't go to the bathroom while at work, you get 1 point and that accrues over the course of your career and then you can buy something?
Like, intergenerationally, so you can give your children your Nectar points.
No generation of this family has ever pissed on the job.
Yeah, he died as he lived, full of piss. Expanding like a balloon. By the time he died, he looked like a pufferfish.
We can carry on.
Workforce. As a worker, you can now earn salt with each hour you work.
Wait, salt gives you a way to earn
that actually builds your future. Think of it like frequent flyer miles or reward points at a coffee shop. Only in this case, you earn them for the hours you work at any job.
Yeah, you get
and
your
it's all
free
for workers.
Is that a logical stopping point for the insane thing we just heard, or do we want to keep going?
That's good enough. So their copy says, it's the app that turns the hours you work into more than a paycheck, a modern rewards program built for the modern day worker that allows you to finally capture the true value of your work. Marx could never. Marx failed to anticipate Nectar points, but that you can inherit.
There's a tendency of the rate of Nectar points to go up, I assume.
Oh, we've still got about 40 seconds on this. Let's keep it going.
Let's keep it rolling.
Let's keep it rolling.
We have big plans for Salt. But for today, we're starting simple. Download the app. Earn Salt as you work. Share it with friends. Redeem for an experience. Over time,
the experience is on
Salt
here.
May
They're
one
very
day
funny
be
God.
The way you build long-term ownership and generational wealth.
Yeah. Generational wealth of Nectar points. I have never found a more insultingly and offensively stupid
idea. I don't think you can even inherit Nectar points. I sort of like, I know someone who's like, grandma passed away like a couple years ago and she
surrounded
did ask like and she did ask like can
points.
I take the Nectar points, and they said no because this wasn't
basically if you die with a surplus balance of Nectar points in Britain, then they just accrue to the Duke of Windsor.
I don't know why. Well, they said that like her grandma did the shopping and not her, so she didn't deserve to have it was a very weird experience.
I've got so many Nectar points, I don't know what to do with them. So, and you know, I've taken Camilla to Chessington World of Adventures 14 times. Last time we got thrown out for fucking on the Big Dipper.
So that is their innovation, is
what? Horny Prince Charles.
That's one of the things you can experience if you get enough salt. The innovation is...
I've been warned about my wife's not wearing seatbelts.
That's what you buy the ticket for.
Yeah. None of us will be funnier than that tonight. That's the high point.
All right, good night, everyone. So it's Nectar points you can inherit. That's their innovation, is what if you could inherit Nectar points? But what if
my
also,
father had a nectar garden, his father before him?
Also, it's not Nectar points, it's salt, which is different. It's a different points program that doesn't give you as much. So I'll carry on. It says, the app that gives you more for the hours you work. Mine your hours, grow your balance, share with loved ones, and build for the future.
Mine your hours.
Yeah, mind your hours. It's pretty clear.
Just mind your hours.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what
mind
that is.
Mind your hours, sunshine.
So what we've done is we've gamified hourly work. So to try to intensify production at hourly level.
Which is great because no one ever got compensated for hourly work before. No. So it's great that they've solved that problem.
No. Yeah, of course.
Plus, previously, there was a pretty stark divide between working and gaming. You would have to like finish work, go home, start gaming. Now, you can be gaming at work and you won't get fired for it.
Yeah. And you'll get points.
Yeah, you'll get rewarded.
And points means certain prizes.
Yeah, and now you can say the game of words at work.
So it's like a shitty arcade where like you get the tickets and you can like buy nothing really except for like one of those sort of thumb toys.
We'll get to those. Also, it says, are you interested in offering salt to your employees? With salt, you get more than just retention and engagement. You get a loyal following with your employees. So it's suggesting your employees will become your fans?
This is a long wind-up. What is the payoff to this? What can you... get? What can you spend? What can you redeem them
for? I mean, I got to say, you see a guy with a big bag of salt, you are impressed by that. You don't see that very often. When you do, it's like, that's a guy.
He could be gritting the roads or making a huge quantity of bolognese.
So, I am going to go out of order in my notes, and I'm going to tell you what you can get for salt.
Okay.
So, I weirdly, they don't advertise this heavily on their website. Is there only? It's an American company. They're trialing it only in Puerto Rico.
Well, only
famously a place with no problem.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's always a good sign, isn't it? We're launching our new product. It's only available in Myanmar currently. It's what we like to call a flexible regulatory environment. Yeah.
I hate the shock doctrine. I hate the shock doctrine.
So. Their Instagram faces their like people trying to onboard in Puerto Rico. Their website faces potential investors in the States. And
this could end up being more insulting than the time Trump went to Puerto Rico after the hurricane, like threw like kitchen rolls, paper towels at them, yeah,
and then said, "Have a good time,
dry yourselves off."
So
you look very wet. You're looking very moist. Look, I'm trying to help here. When did the Democrats ever give you a paper towel?
To be fair, they didn't.
No, and this app...
1-0 to Trump.
Well, this app, it won't even tell you to have a good time. And I think if I had survived a natural disaster and anyone told me to have a good time, I would just fully dissociate in that moment. Trump?
Although
they don't want you to have bounty. They don't want you to have it. It's the strongest paper towel. It's very strong, even when wet. You can pull it, you can twist it, but it won't break.
I'm totally distracting us from this content here, but I want to just share the story of the guy that owns the restaurant we went to yesterday.
People are laughing like geese in the middle of the like Mickey Mouse. It was like, woo-hoo.
Very deep brand loyalty to their paper towels. Yeah. You know?
The bounty corporate outing are in. We knew we came to the right place.
This is a bounty household.
Can you just share briefly that we're on Trump, the story of the guy, the Greek guy that owned the restaurant yesterday?
Oh yeah, last night we went to a late night Greek restaurant, and me and Alice's friend Min, we were outside having a cigarette, and the Greek owner comes outside, and he's like, "You are from America? Yes, I once met Donald Trump. I was in Las Vegas, you know, for the WrestleMania, and." I was at the WrestleMania, and the Donald Trump, he was fighting Vince McMahon.
It was a beautiful interaction. Sorry, WrestleMania has been running through my head all day. No,
they have the mania for the wrestler.
So, at long last, what can you get for salt? So this is what they do not tell this to the people, the investors they're asking to invest in this thing. So. Salt redemptions are underway. This is from their Instagram post. We love seeing our Salt members receive their commemorative hats.
Yes! 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 Let's fucking go! That's right! You get a commemorative hat! Oh! Woo! Yeah, baby! We're back! We never fucking left!
Fully relaxed.
Yeah.
We're so calm.
Dare I ask, what style of hat?
It's a fitted baseball cap.
What does it say on the hat?
Nothing.
Nothing?
So you basically
I was wrong. This blows Trump out of the water. Paper towels? Fuck a paper towel. You could get a whole hat off of these guys.
So this is. Can I read the rest of the post?
A paper towel will dry your head, but a hat will keep it dry.
It's a
smart business deal.
A totally unbranded hat, like you were going to rob a bank and you needed part of a disguise.
To be fair, make you more money.
Yeah, you would need to after they cut your pay in order to provide you with the hat service.
The more salt points you get, you just acquire the necessary tools to rob a bank.
Yeah, like next year, I'm
one
gun.
Pair of women's tights, a pickaxe handle.
Yeah, so aside from what Milo just said, you know, black jeans and black Nike Air Force One low tops, is there a higher tier of things it starts to give you at all?
I know of three things you can get. One of them is the hat. I'd like to read the rest of the Instagram post.
Right. Okay.
We love seeing our SALT members receive their homegrown clothing commemorative hats, which they've earned just by working their hourly jobs. Wow. You can trade money for goods and services. There are many more SALT offers and experiences coming for our hardworking SALT members. Mm. And so there are two more that they have now given, both of which cost 109 SALTs. That's 109 hours worked. So
that's so many hours.
Well, wait till you hear what they offer. You can get a candle that says, it's a SALT branded candle, and it says, future you is craving SALT. It's not clear if there's a scent.
Yes.
Future you is dehydrated. It needs fucking electrolytes, mate. Sort it out, have a Lucozade. Not available on SALT. Gotta pay for that.
So even if you... If you earn $2 an hour, this would be a $200 candle.
Correct, yes.
Is it a $200 candle?
It doesn't specify that it's like a diptyque candle, no.
I like the idea of Yankee candles coming out with a SALT flavor, but what is... A couple of things. First of all, flavor. I eat candles, all right? If you've never met an American, we're not normal.
So it's not clear if it is scented, although a salt-scented candle is very nice.
But also, like, if you get a message that says future you is craving salt, I feel like that's kind of ominous. That's kind of like in the water war of the future, you live in the desert or something like that. Like,
yeah.
What?
It's also like, work harder because future you is desperate for more salt because this candle is not forever. You cannot pass this candle down to your future generations once it is burned. No, there's a third reward, though. We have the hat, we have the candle, the most delicious prize.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Maybe this one will make up for the other two, make it all worthwhile.
109 salt for unlimited access to YouTube Masterclass.
Yeah. No, it's better. I wouldn't take the $100 million. I'd take an interview with the guy giving me the $100 million to learn how to make that money myself. And that, in a way, is what the Masterclass is. You could watch Carlos Santana teach you play guitar.
Yeah, you could learn how to style that hat.
Well, yeah, you want the salt. You don't want the money. You want the salt because the job interviewer might be a deer.
Yeah,
you never know.
You could learn how to use a candle.
I think all you need to
do a job interview with like a fucking 1,000 lumen torch. Just like, I can freeze the interviewer and write the job form out myself.
I think all of my co-hosts need to stop reading Twitter blue posts.
So it is effectively like one of those fucking arcades because like, yeah. And you go to them and you get the tickets, like you'll probably get like a shitty pencil or like one of the thumb toys. But what you really want is like the giant fucking like teddy bear, right? Yep. Mm. But you're never going to get it because the system is rigged against you getting the big teddy bear.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
correct.
The man has glued that coconut.
But they can't even give you the big teddy bear. They're just telling you to go listen to like fucking Steve Bartlett's podcast.
Yeah, so
I feel like the injustice of the big teddy bear is like a sort of an ancient grief that has steered you towards being left wing now.
So...
But not entirely false.
So
it's like, wait a second. This whole thing is rigged.
Yeah,
I just worked it out now.
So basically, yes, you can't get the big teddy bear, but maybe your children's children's children can get the month of YouTube Masterclass. Because, and here's, so CEO Jason Lee addressing how this solves inequality, you know, the hats and candles and YouTube Masterclass. Said, hourly workers miss out on wealth-building opportunities such as stock options, 401ks, and partnerships.
Uh-huh. And the big teddy bear from the county fair, yeah.
I mean, if you just work like a normal person, you barely get to collab with anyone. That's true.
This wealth disparity dates back centuries and compounds with generations. He is solving a Domesday Book level problem.
But he's going to solve
liege,
that.
The peasants have angered themselves. They have discovered that thine contest to win the comely stuffed bear is not at all level and fair-handed.
The buyer tapestry, they're all wearing snapbacks.
I was going to say, like, so he's going to solve intergenerational inequality with blank 5950s that they got like dead stock for.
Yeah. Well, he has a plan for how it's going to scale from that. Mm. He says, SALT Labs applies this philosophy to the working world by rewarding workers with SALT for every hour they work. Think of it as loyalty points, exchanged for goods and services, or saved as assets, but it's the worker's property. Because individuals own the SALT they amass. Again, it doesn't specify, by the way, what happens if SALT goes out of business. I guess you don't own that. Salt does have to stay a going concern forever, or we go back to feudalism.
It also has to be. It also has to be real. It also. I mean, like, okay, you can sort of like money being like fake or whatever, but like this, I feel like this is taking the piss,
right?
Like a bit. Like,
you need to know that, like, they have hats back there. There needs to be like a sort of a gold standard, but for hats. This,
I mean, it's just, I'm just struggling to imagine workers being like, yep, I have 500 Avios from British Airways. I'm buying a fucking house with this. Like, and that's sort of implying that's the case, that people are going to look at this and say, oh, this is a pathway to wealth generation, but it's not useful for, I mean, at least shitty wages, you can still buy a thing with them. This. Well,
didn't you hear about the candle?
Well, yeah, I heard a lot about the candle, actually, but...
Is he planning to scale up by, like, introducing new gifts? Like, for example, like a fish and, like, a goldfish in a bag? Because then you're solving two problems.
A large ball of cotton candy, perhaps.
But if you give the people, like, the fish, then, like, the fish can be their friend. And so you're solving loneliness.
Loneliness.
What about a helium balloon that looks like Sonic?
Yeah. Or what if you get a special hat, but the hat has, like, a propeller on it? Yeah.
So it's I'm cash poor but asset rich, and the asset is a balloon that looks like Sonic,
but not exactly like Sonic because they don't have the copyright.
it looks like Sonip the hedgerow,
Sonip the porcupine.
Because individuals own and his friend Rumps. Because individuals own the salt land mass, they can transfer some to friends, whether they're members or not. This increases its utility and makes it more asset like.
So, but it also allows you to, like, sort of get in on a salt cartel. Like, if you wanted, you could just have... You could sign everybody in Puerto Rico up to this and then sort of, like, collect their salt in a sort of, like, illegitimate tax and then use that to buy the Sonic balloon.
It sounds like what you're talking about is the early 90s Russian effort at privatization.
Yeah, it's like mixing metaphors of pyramid scheme and pillar of salt.
No, somehow not it works. A lot of like fans of early Russian efforts of privatization in the house tonight. someone had shares in Sibneft. Okay.
Yeah. Also, I do like the idea that that there will be a popular uprising over salt is something that hasn't happened since 300 BC.
You can have your shares in Surgut Neftigaz or this teddy bear.
Psychologically, it's a lot more impactful for someone to be earning something rather than simply to get a discount on the thing you're already going to buy. Our thesis is that hourly workers would rather accumulate Mr. Lee, take a bad shift and get more salt and then be able to redeem for goods and experiences as opposed to waiting and around and working 3 months to earn a random after-tax extra payment on your paycheck. They'd much rather have salt than boring old money.
But they also, like, what the fuck kind of pay, like, wage structure are they talking about? Like, has these guys literally never heard of a way you get paid for an hourly job? Like, when the fuck do you get paid 3 months later for working an hourly job? Like, unless it's a tax refund? Is that what he's saying?
You'd think that they'd look into that.
Right.
I don't think they looked into that before getting $10 million of funding to kick this off.
I say, how do you get paid for a job? I assume it's quarterly. Salary, I suppose, must be somewhat like a dividend. James, have you ever had a job?
No. Lee sees people saving their salt and letting it build. As more businesses and people sign up to salt, an ecosystem will develop where salt is ascribed value. Very confident prediction from Jason Lee there. With some acquiring it to use and others acquiring it to use as an, and this next word is a hilarious one to put in the copy, appreciating asset. Like, I got stocks in potential candles and those are going up.
What you're saying is PCP is legal in Puerto Rico.
It says, Lee said the market would set a price as salt gains popularity. If one employer gives a $150 reward after 500 hours of work, that'd be valued at 30 cents each, which again makes that a very still expensive candle.
Also, the other thing is, how does this confront the fact that with money, you can buy any number of different candles? They can have any, like, 30, let 1,000 flavors of candle bloom, right? You could you could eat whatever flavor of candle you want.
Get yourself a nice olive tapenade candle.
Yeah, for sure. Savory candles.
I've always been flummoxed by the Yankee Candle scent / flavor of man cave candle. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to smell like.
Cum.
But they do make one.
The cumdle?
I think cum would be a reasonable flavor for a vape. You know, we do We're doing the Labour Party support the LGBTQ plus community, including those who are trying to quit smoking.
Yeah. So, for some, it will allow them to save up for a special treat. By the way, the function of money as an asset is to lend it out and then earn an interest rate or an appreciation on that asset. They are very stupidly... I hate these people. For some, it will allow them to save up for a special treat gift. For others, it will be an asset whose value will hopefully grow over time that can become a significant holding that can be passed on to generations just like property.
Just like property.
Just like
my
property.
My father's Cumdall collection. It will pass to me.
It's quite a bit like an asset. But assets usually are something you can trade for stuff to not die of exposure or starvation, thirst, and stuff. This mostly candles and YouTube advice, but it is, we assume as more people sign on, it will grow and then become very valuable. And then, you know, that's communism, basically.
My father's collection of YouTube advice.
Anyway, that's all for our first segment. So I would like to invite you to get up, stretch your legs, enjoy an interval of approximately 10, 15, however long it takes you to get sat back down, minutes. And then we will see you for Brain Combat with Matthew Goodwin in that amount of time. Thank
Don't
you.
Piss or you won't get your salt. Hello.
The very uncomfortable footstools.
Hi, everybody.
We're back.
I am never going to get used to how low this stool is.
Very low.
Yeah, this stool is like changing me as a person. It's not...
I don't love
For
it.
For the second time.
Yeah. So, it's detransitioning me. These are shrinking back into my chest.
I refuse to go entirely Japanese.
Alice, can you please start the timer?
A timer? Sure. Yes. I can do a very ostentatious timer with
Thank
a
you.
Big watch bezel. There you go.
Perfect.
What am I starting a timer for?
Don't worry about it. now, as you know, there is a man. There's a man who once ate a book. It's a very important book. Wait, do people not know this?
A delicious book.
Very salt of the earth kind of guy.
Because after the 2017 election, Matthew Goodwin went live on Sky News because he promised he would eat his book if Labour weren't totally wiped out in 2017. And then he did actually, on TV, eat several pages of his book. The high point of his achievements, in my view...
You've got to respect it. It's commitment.
Yeah. He's so random.
Now,
doing the like, oh my God, Jenny thing.
So...
We dared him to lie on the floor.
Absolute legend, mate.
Absolute madman.
So at the previous show, we did part one. Don't worry, there's no plot. There's no spoilers here. Don't worry about that. Of this terrible book about how basically Britain is super racist and that's good. yeah, I know. And the book is essentially about saying that there is this new elite. They control everything, but they're in no visible position of power. You can tell that they're elite because they have luxury beliefs.
They're us.
They are. Well, well, I was just thinking about this yesterday. I was like, well, what he's angry about is he thinks that they're mods, right?
Sure.
Like he thinks they're mods. Like,
oh, so much of this is just Twitter review.
Yeah. But he's like, he's a forums guy to a certain extent. And he's like looking at mods and like mods don't get paid and they don't really be, you know, they have their own like beliefs, which are effectively here are the rules of the forum. And he doesn't like any of that.
That is exactly correct. And so this book is called The Values, Voice, and Virtue. He is essentially Ta-Nehisi Coates for white people, which is great. And so we are reading now from Chapter 2, Values. We're going to learn about the values of Britain. We came on the Regional Authenticity Tour. We have to learn about the values of Britain.
Sure. We are up here to learn from all of you about your values. Explain to us your values.
So
now.
We also aren't here to take apart his arguments because we all know that they're stupid and absurd. We're mostly here, as we are, with any book, which is to make fun of the writer for being an idiot who should have stuck to eating books rather than writing them. So, the revolution has divided society. So Matthew Goodwin opens chapter 2.
Comrade.
Awesome.
While cheered on by their most passionate supporters, revolutions often only represent a small minority. Many others feel aghast at what is unfolding around them, alarmed by both the pace and scale of change. What is unfolding around Matthew, of course, is like diversity.
Several pages of his own books inside his own stomach.
That and also like diversity training at workplaces. So you know, this is the theory, the cultural theory behind the idea that you can be a working class landlord oppressed by your barista because they have pronouns. It's true. And it's, yeah, it's it basically...
He, him, she, her, what's wrong with bloke and lass?
And that this is a direct result of all of politics banding together to liberalize the economy, which is true, and also Blair liberalizing the genders.
A thing which he did 100% sincerely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says, whereas Thatcher has combined radical economic liberalism with an appeal to traditional family values, New Labour kept the former but replaced the latter with cultural liberalism. The liberal consensus of the new elite was complete and firing on all cylinders.
Wait, so Thatcher is like one half Blair. We're doing like semi-Blairs here. Mm. And then he completed the revolution. He was like sort of like Lenin, but for pronouns.
Yeah. So... many of these counter-revolutionaries, so the people who are like anti-woke now, who are the silent majority, whatever, have since told researchers that they feel taken for granted by the left and alienated by the rise of woke progressivism, to which I have to say, what fucking country are you living in? Like, how? Is this... What left do you mean? This is just your nieces and nephews.
Yeah, you get owned one time at like Christmas dinner. You get owned on Twitter. You therefore feel that you are constantly harassed despite the fact that like every institution in the country agrees with you.
It's also like, it's what really they mean is my nephew has blue hair, exists in my eye line, and is insisting on me calling them on him they. I hate this and I'm oppressed by it.
My nephew is Sonip the Porcupine. I'm not James anymore. I am Sonip the Porcupine.
Including calls to, quote, defund the police, a luxury belief for the new elite that mainly impacts low-income working-class communities where they do not live.
I mean, to be fair, saying defund the police in the UK is a bit stupid because we already did that. Like, anyway, fair play to the Tories. They're the only true fucking Austerians out there, right? They will cut all of it. Police, military, we don't care. There should be nothing.
It's also, what he's done is he's just watched American news and then he's just assumed that that's happening here because he has never left his computer or phone.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, right? When you spend too much time online, you kind of become quasi-American. You learn about things you should not know, like Greg Stubbe or whatever. But the crucial thing is, when we do it, it's cool.
So
it's called a double standard because it's twice as good.
Yeah. So also, he does define who the new elite are. They're basically architects, doctors, journalists, think tankers, people who went to university, basically.
Yeah, and anytime you start like explaining this or quoting him or using the word cosmopolitan, the little Hitler particle detector that I brought with me, it starts beeping and ticking in sort of erratic ways.
So, contrary to what you might have heard, these new divides in politics were not only stoked by ruthless populists and right-wing culture warriors, not such as myself, of course, they are the direct result of seismic changes that were overseen by this new elite in which we explored.
See, this is perfect for him because he doesn't consider himself like a culture warrior. He considers himself to be doing like culture self-defense, which is so perfectly emblematic
of the... Culture Magar.
Complain online first.
Yeah.
In this case, basically, the new elite, the usual.
Yeah, us, but by the transitive property, you.
Yeah. The new elite were unable to contain the counter-revolution of proper people because they failed to recognize, this is now the quote, failed to recognize and respond to the rise of three powerful new divides in our politics. The most important by far is what we'll explore in this chapter, a growing rift among the British people over their cultural values, over how they think Britain ought to be. So voice, values, virtue. Also, he's a terrible writer. So here's an example from this chapter.
Oh, no.
The new elite, he says the word elite hundreds of times. That's how you know it's good, because he said it a lot. Good writing is when you use the same word
He's
a
like
lot.
He's like a 4chan guy in 2007.
So they
actually,
are,
in a lot of ways.
They are also far more likely to want to prioritize the interests of minorities over the majority and to think the expansion of rights for women, ethnic minorities, and trans people. Alice?
10 minutes. You motherfucker. Wait, did you have a countdown to him saying something transphobic?
Yep. If you actually start at the book, it's in the preface. Ethnic minorities and trans people has not gone far enough. Well, only 7% of traditionalists think rights for trans people have not gone far enough, to which I say, I would like to meet those traditionalists.
Wait, hang on a minute. We surveyed 100 transphobes and none of them thought that trans rights hadn't gone far enough. It's just so dumb to be like, yeah, we surveyed 100 racists and they all agreed that rights for black people hadn't gone too far.
But like, not all of them did. Some of them, like, yes, like, pronouns, step on me, more
were,
pronouns.
Some of the
7% of these trans have a forced femme fantasy.
There were like two of them that were like not transphobic, just don't like it. But they still, yeah, still should, yeah, be allowed to.
It's like Hugh Laurie, British Army officer in a dress.
It's like, well, I suppose we can have a little fun, can't we, boys? I'm going to Chessington World of Adventures after all.
The people who belong to the Cosmopolitan Alliance.
Yeah, my fucking little Hitler particle detector, yeah, off the charts at this point.
Include the new graduate elite, the young millennials, and the even younger Zoomers.
Yeah, that's how generations work, correct? He's nailed it.
They just keep getting younger. He stays the same age.
That's what I hate about the youth of today. I keep getting older. They keep getting younger.
He talks about like the new generations like a boss rush in a video game. the Zoomers, the worst of all, are far more likely to have passed through the universities and have known nothing other than the revolution. Moving leftwards in
Zoomers
politics.
Zoomers do have a glowing weak spot on their back.
Which is helpful if you're playing sort of like tower defense for your right to say the word.
Mm. Yeah. Moving leftwards in politics, they accept the revolution or want it to go faster. But contrary to the misleading narrative that demography is destiny, these groups are still a long way from being able to command complete power in the country. Thank you, Matthew Goodwin, for this insight that we don't have a Zoomer prime minister.
Old people fucking run everything. Yeah. Thanks.
There has never been a prime minister who was a baby.
Until now.
If the woke left get their way, this could be where we are headed.
I would also like to copyright Prime Minister Baby as a movie.
Yeah, it's a sequel to The Boss Baby.
Yeah. So let's hear about the trads. Mm. Traditionalists think very differently from the new elite and other groups in society when it comes to three...
Because they have gout of the brain.
Three key areas of national life. Britain's relationship with the EU, immigration... I've excluded most of the EU stuff because it's boring recapitulation of stuff. Immigration and rising diversity. And thirdly, what makes somebody British? The two and three are the same thing. That's the same thing said twice.
Yeah, I mean, the older generations, these trads, they think very differently. You know, you and I might think, I would like somewhere to live. And they think, no, I'm actually not going to fix your boiler because I don't have to, even though I am technically your landlord.
Well, I was going to say, I disagree a little bit because in the first section, but also throughout the book, he's basically kind of implying, and again, so much of his book is just about kind of trying to read through what he's saying between the lines and then working out that he's getting frustrated at himself throughout the process. But it's kind of very clear that, no, he actually does think that among the new elite, most of whom like, have grown up in the UK or like have been born here are not British. Like he does, like he thinks in terms of value terms that they do not match. So I would sort of actually say that no, they're two distinct things, even though again, like he is just getting mad at like
they are
people.
Two distinct things to him, but I think they're expressing the same feeling, which is, come on, let me say it just once. So as their name implies, the name he gave them implies, great writing, traditionalists want to assert a more traditional vision of British identity. It's great to use the term in the definition of the term. Perfect.
But it also feels like he appeals to this very kind of fluffy, vague notion because the people who he thinks are going to be reading this don't need a definition. They don't need any kind of detail. This is basically like an easy reading airport book for buy to let landlords. Like it's just, it's like there is no specificity here because like, oh yeah, yeah, you're right. That's just traditionalism. We like things the way they ought to be. And it's like, could you say what those are, please, Matthew?
Oh,
but it's also like complete poster's logic as well, because when you do a post, like, you know, people, it goes to the people that, like, you know, you'll know it. You don't need to explain anything.
But crucially, he's not limited by characters here.
That's okay. Yeah.
I wish.
He's living the dream.
There's not a Twitter blue enough for him. I would like to correct...
really blue Twitter. But you can say whatever you want.
I'd like to correct the two of you, though. You've both assumed that this book is out there to be read. It's not.
So it's basically like Juche thought for like right-wing Brits. It's just supposed to be big on your shelf.
I think I am...
It's supposed to be book talked. You're supposed to like have like, you know, picturesque like, you know, cafe, like nice little like woke latte and then put it like, you know...
Deep down, he just hopes that all of like the caught reading Instagram things where like people get like the snaps on like a subway that everyone's going to be reading his book and just looking really edified.
He wants to be pictured on the tube where reading his book and then uploaded to hot guys reading books on Instagram. Yeah,
it needs to be the right sort of people. So it's got to be a bunch of people stood in the stands at a dog track reading his book, right? Like
that's... And then I assume that when he doesn't get uploaded, he's going to get mad at that and say, no, the woman running that page is the new elite.
So this is not meant to be read. The only people who have ever read this book are people who are debating him and then me. Otherwise, this is just meant to just go into the content grist.
And you would be debating him if he hadn't been a coward.
Yeah. Isn't that right, Matthew? As their name implies, they want to reassert a more traditional version of British identity, culture, and way of life.
I wonder what that might be.
Yeah. Resentful of the new elite and what they see as their self-serving agenda. As opposed to our self-serving agenda. Over the last decade, traditionalists have been searching for leaders who will put the interests of the nation and majority first, not the new elite, who, remember, are like woke leftists, global corporations, the EU, or this last one, which is quite horrifying, minorities.
But I'm just shaking.
How's that Hitler detector going out?
Oh, it's broken. Long since broken.
I'm just shaking my begging bowl, just like, please, sir, one crumb of an example, one crumb of what the fuck you're actually talking about. Because it feels as though it's like, yeah, this is just pabulum. It's just like appealing to, you know, the person who's going to read this, the three people, four people maybe who read this are going to agree with it.
The problem with writing a book is that you're not actually allowed to say what you think.
Mm. Yeah.
So actually, he's being silenced while he's writing this book and being silenced at the
you're
same
right.
time.
The woke left that controls British publishing wouldn't let him.
Saying things like, you can't say the term in the definition of the term, Matthew. You can't say the word elite 4,000 times.
So also, I think it's very funny that there's basically like a transnational alliance of like adjunct professors and private equity firms who've gotten together to like embarrass Britain's landlords.
So very, very strongly reminding me of Enver Hoxha, dictator of Albania, who once said, "Together, Albanians and Chinese comprise a quarter of the world's population."
So, people,
woke capital and all of you guys here tonight comprise several $1 trillion in value.
And 70% of the world's bunkers.
Yeah. And quite a bit of salt points, if I am believing correctly. Yeah. So.
But like also, didn't he say that like non-hierarchical or like challenge to hierarchical institutions, like the EU?
Yeah, they hate hierarchy, which is why they love the EU.
Yeah.
It's called the Common Agricultural Policy because it's for plebs.
So the people
like you and I.
The people who've joined this traditionalist alliance come from different classes and financial backgrounds and have often voted for different parties in the past, with some very wealthy. They've been pushed together by a shared sense that revolution has gone too far, too fast, and the new elite are no longer serving the interests of the wider country. Also, just political thing, I'm just going to get out of the way. The real conflicts that have been thrown open by what he's talking about is actually just an intra-elite spat between like the owners of physical, provincial, extractive resource capital and transnational financial capital, where the former rhetorically aligns itself with an imaginary columnist version of the working class, and Goodwin is very worthily intoning about this shadow play that he's basically watching. That is good to replace this book and be much more right, that 30 seconds of talking. So, while the new elite dislike hierarchies and want to prioritize the free and equal interaction of people who do not conform to conventional ways of life, such as racial, sexual, and gender minorities, traditionalists want to live in a society where these hierarchies are upheld and respected, and where people are encouraged to conform with established ways of life, which means he's basically saying, look, it's fun. You just have different values. So could you please stop existing as a minority?
But like, get back in the hierarchy.
Yeah, like Jim Crow was a hierarchy. Prima Nocta was a hierarchy. Like, which hierarchy are we going back to here? Like, what?
Well, Goldman Sachs, because they put up, they did a rainbow logo during Pride Month, wants a kind of radical syndicalist society of some kind.
Yeah. Call them called gold person sacks. That was really low bar, but I'm proud of it.
Yeah. Like the woke Deutsche Bank hates hierarchy. It's all about expressing. Because you can put your pronouns in your email at Deutsche Bank, Matthew Goodman is like, oh my God. They want to destroy society. So also it's like this wanting to defend conventional ways of life, but how long has this been conventional? Because like the fact of a non-aristocrat owning a home and having tenants would be wildly revolutionary by some standards. Like that's literally the French Revolution, which is what he's trying to defend.
You own a home despite not having a big rough on all the time?
There's not even an attempt to sort of build like any kind of framework over what he defines as traditional, right? Because like, you know, if you're talking like, is he talking about like old kind of landed gentry living in the countryside? Is he talking about like the landlords who live in towns who like don't, I like for whom like I don't imagine much of their identity is sort of centered around like the church and the farmer's market, right? So I don't understand, like he's kind of saying words and I don't understand.
He correctly identifies that they're part of a like a united front against wokeness, right? But like he also thinks that to codify that into some kind of like shared idea of, I don't know, white supremacy or whatever, that would be wokeness.
Now,
they're just hanging out. They're just vibing together. They're just besties.
What he defines as traditionalism is whatever people above the age of 55 or so think. That's a very flexible definition.
Well, because they're older and therefore more traditional. Yeah. Like they've been around for longer than us.
So they're kind of
traditional.
So traditionalists, as the country's most reliable surveys make clear, want to see, and again, he says this is sort of framed as being good, want to see a tougher stance on law and order, people to show greater respect for British values, want to live in a society where children are taught obedience. Again, I feel like that's about Twitter, again, yeah, and to respect authority.
I got ratioed by a 20-year-old. It's time to lock every child in an oubliette until the age of 40.
Yeah. Bring back the cane. These children who are mean to me on Twitter will have a savage beating. And then Alice is like, don't threaten me with a good time.
Where criminals
put more mosquitoes in and turn them up way fucking louder. Just destroy young people's ears.
Where criminals are given stiffer sentences and the death penalty is not off limits.
But that's the thing, right? Like, you'll have these...
It's off limits. We've put it on the top shelf.
And it'll be like
Rishi can't reach up there. He's too short.
You'll legitimately have these polls where they survey, like, I imagine this population he's describing. And like, it'll be everything from what you said, bring back the death penalty to bring back leaded petrol.
Ban
CFL light bulbs. It's like they've even moved on to LEDs at this point, but they still want incandescent light bulbs back. It's like, it's sure, if you ask a bunch of crazy people who don't really have any real problems what they're mad at, like, yes, I'm not young anymore, and like you can't buy 7 pints in a paint tin. And it's like, that's apparently a crime against humanity. It's like, don't care about homelessness, don't care about any of that shit, but like I want my Watney's 47 and it should not be a crime to drive drunk.
None of this woke seatbelt.
Let's hear it for drunk driving.
They talk about bringing back hanging. During COVID, I inherited so many nectar points, I had an all-inclusive trip to Center Park. I drank 45 daiquiris. Actually, I took a shit that destroyed the toilet at Highgrove. But it took 4 footmen to get that blockage through.
Here's another funny one. It's under the new elite, they see these changing values as a loss, imposing a threat to the group-based identities they feel more strongly attached to than the country's graduate class. That's why they feel instinctively uncomfortable with the sheer pace of change, with everything from, for example, statues.
That happened like four times.
Edward Polston in Bristol one fucking time. And then like every bald tomato-faced guy in Britain came out to like defend statues of Lord Robert Baden-Powell. Like genuinely one time.
He might be a nonce, but he's our nonce. He taught those boys discipline. Sometimes he went a little bit far, but I think on the whole, there's a lot we can learn.
So everything from statues to sexual and gender identities and interpretation of histories is being revised.
Interpretation of history.
He just looks at the news and then was like, oh, another headline from the last 4 years. I'll just put that in this big grievance blender. Yeah, I'm calling a book.
Well, see, this is the thing. If you put all of this in like the active voice, if you took it as like a policy prescription, it would be, we should bring back hanging. We should like beat the shit out of all children constantly. We should, actually have more statues of racists. It would seem incredibly like regressive more than it already does. But instead he has this like kind of like descriptive, like textbook tone where he's like, well, actually, if you look at the polling, 97% of the people I asked agreed with me that we should do these things. I'm just impartial. I'm just telling you what the facts are, and that's that everyone agrees with me that we should kill every child.
So I interviewed a number of people who'd been hanged before it was outlawed in 1968, and actually none of them had any rebuttals.
So also it's like he's talking about all these things being overturned, but like Who in power is over? The Colston statue was overturned, I guess, but who in power is overturning other stuff?
Also, they abolished the death penalty in the fucking 60s. How old would you have to be that you remembered the death penalty, let alone positively?
So it's also really what this is.
We used to love going along to a hanging. No, it was the highlight of our week. You didn't have Netflix then, of course. No, you'd get dressed up in your Sunday best, wouldn't you? You remember, you'd get in your grandfather's Ford Anglia and you'd go down to the hanging. Yeah, you'd watch a man who'd embezzled funds from the Green Shield stamps. I'd be hanged by the neck until he was dead. And you know what? It taught us an important lesson about community. So.
This is all people who were born in the 60s and absolutely false memory syndrome themselves into believing they were in World War II.
I was hanged and never did me any harm. My father would hang us by the neck every morning.
This is absolutely a thing, too, with how many of these people are like, oh, national service was character building for us. And it's like, unless you were 83 or older, you are too young to have done national service. They abolished it in 1958. You would have to have been born in 1940 before the war. You would not be a boomer. You'd be in the silent generation. Like, none of these people did it. But it's still, it's just like, yeah, but it's collective folk memory. We all were at Dunkirk. We all fought in World War II.
You've got the silent generation, and then you've got the generation who won't shut the fuck up.
So, well, while lazy caricatures portray traditionalists as a homogeneous group of voters who all think the same, they're actually quite diverse. And then we get a little bit of Mondeo Man persona building.
Yeah,
by Mr.
again,
Goodwin.
He goes back to the textbook thing, and he invents a bunch of like fucking Dungeons and Dragons classes of these guys because it's important to know exactly what the difference is between your like your rugged traditionalist and your like orthodox nationalist.
Look, the boom zerker.
Yeah.
So they include backblown conservatives.
Oh. Oh, bugger me. Camilla's got the strap out again. Dude, and we're out of Power Rush. I say, will you fetch the coconut oil? It's going to be a long night.
Like, all right.
Nasty pig household.
So I presume backblown is as some kind of aphorism here. Like
it's backbone. I added the L. They include backbone conservatives. You all enjoyed it. Who represent 15% of the country who are nostalgic, patriotic, and confident about Britain's future now that the country has left the European Union.
Okay, noting older, this down. That's
people
15.
With dementia. Yeah, okay.
They are older, wealthier, and white. No need to go into them anymore.
Yeah. And that's 15% of everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are joined by disengaged traditionalists who represent another 18% of the country.
That's fucking 3 people in 10 already. Like, how
there
many?
There are more coming.
Okay.
Who represent another 18% of the country and share these views. Coming from the working class, the Midlands and England's smaller post-industrial towns, they are more likely to think that British identity is rapidly disappearing, to feel negatively about immigration, and to voice their hostility towards graduates in London and England's southeast. To think British identity is rapidly disappearing. What could they possibly mean by that?
Well, the answer would be too woke, you see.
And they're joined by a third tribe, the Loyal Nationals, who are, again, different from the previous somehow, okay, who represent another 17%, a whopping
17%. They sound like a football firm.
Who put an even stronger emphasis on the sense of security and from being in a nation with a strong identity and shared values. They feel as strongly about the British majority, though they fear they will soon be a minority. So
we're like 20% flat cap, 20% landlord, 20% like berserker, 20% mage.
Yeah, Bob Geldof in the wall in the fascism dream sequence. Yeah.
And also, this is the chapter of these aren't just deranged racists. They have lots of different beliefs, but they also
each one crazier than the last. Don't worry, they don't just have crazy beliefs about people who aren't white. They have crazy beliefs about all sort of things, like what's being put in the water. Where the internet comes from.
They feel besieged and under threat from the forces that are swirling around them. Immigration, asylum seekers, diversity, and political correctness.
Swirling around us. Asylum seekers.
Yeah.
Is it, no, what it is? Asylum seekers like starlings or a hive of bees.
So this is fully just like racism, 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 saw a pride float one time.
Yeah. Like heard about, no, retired, but heard about diversity and inclusion training at like a bank.
Okay.
Yeah. Which they fear undermining Britain's unity. Feeling like strangers in their own country. Again, these are just people who've been given mental illness by the right-wing press.
Yeah, I was going to say, I assume these feelings are just completely organic, right?
Yeah. No,
there's no like exterior... like. Oh,
the common theme, by the way, is that everyone is born right-wing and then becomes left-wing when they go to university. So
you come out of your mother doing a little Hitler salute, you know?
which they fear are feeling like strangers in their own country. They're united by a sense of loss, anxiety, and frustration that's been inculcated in them by Rupert fucking Murdoch, who's, by the way, not mentioned in this at all. One Rupert Murdoch publication is mentioned, The Times, as being an avenue for wokeness somehow. I don't know if we're reading...
We're going to rock down to wokeness.
So, also, they're saying, by the way, before you call these people racist, he makes the comparison to the rise of like Trump and stuff, saying researchers have found that while some Trump voters were certainly motivated by dislike of other groups or, quote, racial resentment, many others were motivated not by racism, but by a desire to defend their traditional culture.
Demographic change. And I assume you got this data based on a survey, which was like, are you racist? No. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
I'm not racist. I just don't understand why they have to come over here and be near me. I have nothing against them personally.
In this poll of whistles, we found that I could hear a good 75% of them. However, another 25 I couldn't hear, but dogs could. Phrasing.
So this is distinct from racism, which the new elite used to try to stigmatize conservatives.
Right. This is the thing, isn't it? It's constantly like, the worst thing that could possibly happen is the woke left accuses me of being racist when they have just come forward and be like, actually, I think it's good to think that hierarchy should be enforced and Britishness should be defined by being white only. And it's like, we have a word for this.
Yeah.
Like it has been kind of defined.
We're just worried that too many like racial hierarchies are being broken down. Not racist, of course. We just like the hierarchy. So liberal cosmopolitans are more sensitive to other voters to accusations of racism. Really, because conservatives seem to be very motivated by being paranoid about that particular accusation and are motivated by a strong internal desire to behave in non-racist ways. That said like it's weird. I don't know why that said like it's weird.
These freaks, they don't want to judge the races and like list them in order of how good they are.
The teachers at my kid's school are motivated by a strong internal desire to tell me I can't come to pick my child up with no trousers on. But why?
scrolling. So, contrary to what has been written since the Brexit vote, Britain is now involved into a country where most people, whether cosmopolitan or traditionalist, grads and trads together, see their Britishness through a more inclusive lens. While radical progressives dominate the institutions, and this is very funny, American
which
journalists...
which ones? Which
you know,
ones?
The ones.
All?
you know the one.
Bank of England.
Uh-huh.
The usual.
M&M Welts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. M&S.
Yeah,
the troops.
Defra.
Yeah. He does not list the institutions.
We're teaching the cows about pronouns.
Woke fertilizer. After all, what were the IRA making those bombs out of? Fertilizer has long been on the side of the Fenian.
Well, radical progressives who dominate the institutions, unclear which ones, and American journalists who write on Brexit Britain, just grinding that axe from some shitty song on Twitter.
It's
amazing.
Such a specific axe. Yeah, yeah. Such a tiny axe, like for toffee or something. Like an axe born of one singular interaction that this man has had.
We're going to bring back the tiny death penalty.
They lose their fucking minds when, like, for example, the New York Times writes a thing just like, is life potentially shit for most people in Britain? And it's like every single, they're like, they didn't bark when the keys got jingled. How the fuck dare they? The New York Times is anti-British, and it's just like,
only good New York Times
sincerely,
article.
Like when one of those articles happened, there were like various, I think we were talking about like various columnists who were like, actually, we think a lot of people are fine with all the potholes. There's not a problem with them. It's a great way to teach your kid how to change a tire and then hit them afterwards because they didn't do it properly and also because you hate them. So why is this fucking toilets? American coming and telling us that things are shit?
Yeah, how dare you notice shit about our country?
We actually like drinking from the puddle.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not gay.
How dare these gay Americans with their bottles of Dasani notice that this puddle appears a little murky?
So it says, it handles this accusation actually. Today, just 3% of people think that to be considered truly British, someone has to be white.
Drink from the puddle.
Yeah. Down from 10% in 2006.
Oh, so, okay, so we're getting 7% less people are now crazy.
Yeah. So people are now 7% less racist because 7% fewer people said the most racist thing.
Yeah. And then it's like, no, they don't think you need to be white. They're just worried that Muslims are setting up a parallel society inside the country.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
they're getting their own puddle. We are getting a parallel puddle, and you are not allowed to drink from it.
I'm going to end on this. Between the 1980s and 2010s, this is the button on the chapter, meaningful choice in British politics disappeared. While power and influence were pushed beyond the borders of national democracy to distant and unaccountable institutions.
He could have stopped there.
Politics was stripped out of politics and it was depoliticized.
We relinquished our political...
Did fucking Garth Marenghi write this?
Also, like...
He is a professor of politics.
Politics, pronouns, wokeness. All over the floor of the sub post office.
the wokes took away his title. Now he's just professor of.
So I presume his argument is we've relinquished all the politics to the diversity team at Deloitte.
Yeah. Yep. Basically.
Yeah.
Great.
Also, oh, they're in like, tonight.
It's like you won everything. You have never lost anything.
Yeah, yeah. Like his sort of like counter revolution of trans, right? Which is like, you know, confronting the elites. They won on Brexit. They won on, like, Corbyn, and now the world champion of crying because you got what you wanted is like, I saw a pride float one time.
But also, like, this is such a, I gotta be honest with you, this seems so much like an American conservative argument. Like, I genuinely think he just left his VPN on, and he's only getting American news and doesn't realize it. Because, like, do you realize the country you live in? Like, you have everything you want here.
Yeah, it's like, he sits at the head of a Roman triumph, sulking.
Yes.
And we are the eunuchs whispering pronouns into his ear. He's
trying to behead Vercingetorix with a tiny axe.
So that is all from chapter 2 of Matthew Goodwin's terrible book. I hope you enjoyed it. I hated reading it.
It's a shame he's not here to hear that applause, which I presume is for his excellent book.
Matthew Goodwin, 50% defeated. He's got like 2 health bars left, which we will dispense with in Manchester and Glasgow.
He's got stars circling his head. He's swaying.
He's stunlocked now. We've got him. We've got his ass.
Yeah. So, thank you again for coming out to Flight 2 of the tour.
Thank you tonight.